It's the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
And the gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Welcome back. And we've been enjoying doing a show the morning after Carlos Correa left San Francisco and went over to the Mets and signed a monster contract in the Mets, obviously gearing up for a big playoff run this year. But let's go back to the Giants now. They were in on Aaron Judge. They were in on Carlos Correa. They got neither of those players. Both those players went to New York, all the way across the country. And what do the Giants do with their money? I mean, they clearly wanted to invest for this season. They were looking to make a big splash, but there just aren't many names left on the free agency market to make a big splash.
Well, no, because what the Giants were hoping in their offseason was to land a franchise player. That's what they need. And so that's why they went after Judge. And then in the final hour, he flipped, went re-signed with New York. I don't know that that was totally shocking, but they were down the line. And same with Correa. You know, there was an issue, quote, issue with his physical. And I think it's an interesting thing because the media spin, or the spin coming out of the Correa-Boris camp, is that Carlos decided to flip to the Mets. But I think it's San Francisco's decision to say this. Anyway, I'm not sure who it was.
Yeah, there's always the spin. It's sort of when a divorce happens in a couple, there's just two sides to the story. We may never know really what went on there. But the Giants just don't have a lot of names left to go fish. I mean, they're just, who are they going to catch right now?
Well, you know, like I said, they need a franchise name. They're going to end this season kind of empty-handed as far as that goes. Because the people, the two top agents that are available, free agents, are 32-year-old Nathan Eovaldi, the pitcher, but San Francisco already has seven great starters.
Yep.
They don't really need him. And then outfielder Michael Conforto, who didn't play last season because of a shoulder injury. So do you really want to give all that money to somebody who is just coming off an injury-riddled season?
And Eovaldi has had a lot of injuries
in his history.
He was with the Red Sox last year, and really the Red Sox were interested in bringing him back, but only at a insider home team discount. So Eovaldi, yeah, still one of the better names out on the market, but he's no sure
thing.
He's not
thing. A need.
He's not like
and
signing
not
a Justin Verlander.
Player.
He just doesn't have that level of talent.
No. So the poor Giants, they're holding a bag of money, no one to give it to. I would gladly step in. How about you, boss?
Send in Carla. All right, when we come back, we're going to shift gears. We're going to go back to the NFL, and I do want to ask you whom your pick is for the MVP race in the NFL. That up next year on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And one of the interesting storylines this NFL offseason or current season is who's deserving of the MVP award. And what's notable, I think, in this season is it's really a wide open race down the stretch. Often by this time, there's sort of an emerging consensus that this year we're all going to line up behind Patrick Mahomes and give him the recognition he deserves. But this year,
and it doesn't really waver. I mean, usually the
They're not a big surprise. But right now, I get to throw at you Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, four elite quarterbacks who've been outstanding for their teams. And then I'll throw in a fifth name, not a quarterback, Justin Jefferson, who's had an extraordinary year as a wide receiver for the Vikings. I don't know amongst those whom you really would place. Although it's interesting, the MVP race, it almost feels like it's the best quarterback award. I mean, we're four out of my five names are quarterbacks, and there seems to be a big drop-off after that five. But when you look at those names, is there anybody who jumps out at you? Whom would you pick if you had a vote for the MVP right now?
Jalen Hurts. I don't even have a question about it. And you've got a heady list of great people. But Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Jefferson all sit at 11-3 record. I mean, Jalen Hurts is 13-1, has led his team to a 13-1 record. Now, it'll be interesting to see. Nick Sirianni has been, hey, Jalen Hurts could play this week when they face Dallas in Dallas. It will be interesting to see if Jalen Hurts does not play, a couple things. A, will that affect, you know, him missing a game? Will that affect his
MVP status?
His MVP status? And could it actually help his MVP status if we see an absolute collapse of the Eagles, or we see something very different? Because Jalen Hurts is so, he's such a dual threat quarterback, and he sees very well what the defense gives him and adjusts on the fly. Gardner Minshew, I mean, we've seen him do some great things, but I don't really call him a dual threat quarterback.
Well, his best moment, if you will recall, was with that big mustache standing in the shower with a jockstrap on. That's Gardner Minshew. But he has had some good games.
He has.
No question, he's not Jalen Hurts. And if you want to pick Jalen Hurts as the MVP, it would be hard to argue another person other than some of these other names have had really, really good years too. But coming into the season, it's really interesting to think about how far Jalen Hurts has come. Because coming into this year, we had the NFC least. It was the division that everybody thought was awful. And
For years it has been.
It was really, really bad, particularly last year. And then coming into this year, well, everybody had that same expectation. But the expectation was that the Dallas Cowboys would win the division because, at the very least, they had the best quarterback in the division. And the thought coming into the season was, well, the Eagles need to find out if Jalen Hurts is their guy and if they want to give him a long-term contract. Well, as it turned out, Jalen Hurts is the guy. He has really performed at a high level. In fact, I don't think the mystery is whether he's the best quarterback in the NFC East. He clearly has been this year. The mystery is he the best quarterback in all of the NFC, maybe all the NFL, but I'm not ready to go that far. I'd still take a Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes over him or a Joe Burrow over him if I were starting a team today. But in the NFC, he's clearly outperformed Dak Prescott. Anyone would take him over Kirk Cousins, although I think Kirk Cousins has been somewhat underrated this year. He's had an extraordinary season. Tom Brady is not Tom Brady anymore.
No.
And Aaron Rodgers has been whining more than playing well. And so when you look across the NFC and think about which quarterback is going to take their team all the way, Jalen Hurts stands above the rest of that pack.
No, I agree. And, you know, when you mention you would start your team with a Patrick Mahomes and a Josh Allen, I cannot fault you for that at all. Here's the difference where I think Jalen Hurts really shines. Jalen Hurts has not been the number one since he was drafted. It's been a platoon system with Carson Wentz until he loses it, Nick Foles until he loses it. Then it was Carson, Jalen. You know, it wasn't until they finally got rid of the Carson curse that Jalen Hurts got his chance, whereas Mahomes and Josh Allen have been the man basically since they started.
Well, they were both first-round picks. Yep. Hurts slipped to the second round. And frankly,
top of the second round.
You're considered a good quarterback, an NFL franchise-type quarterback, you don't last till the second round. Clearly, most of the league didn't view Jalen Hurts as a future NFL franchise quarterback.
Well, even Lamar Jackson, who was, I mean, he was number 32.
Yeah, last player picked in the first round. And there were questions about his ability to play the quarterback position. But I will say this, between Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson, I would take Jalen Hurts in a heartbeat. Lamar Jackson, perhaps the better overall athlete. Yeah, he's faster. But Jalen Hurts has shown this year that he's not a run-first quarterback. He's a quarterback now. In the full sense of the word, some of the passes he's throwing are very elite throws. Now, it certainly has helped him that they've built a great team around him. He's got good protection up front. He's got a good running game. And, of course, his receivers, Brown and Smith, are outstanding.
The pickup of A.J. Brown was huge.
Huge win for him. Look, that team is stocked and really talented. It was about a week or two ago, Micah Parsons was on a podcast, and people were asking him about Jalen Hurts, and is he the MVP, is he not? Is he that elite, or is he not? And Micah went out of his way to talk about the whole of that team, and, of course, it created some stir. Was he slighting Jalen Hurts directly or even indirectly? And maybe he was. But what he did highlight that was absolutely right is that team is a very well-rounded team. It's a very talented team. That receiving core may be the best in the league. Offensive line may be the best in the league. They are really stocked, and they're going to make a deep run, barring some kind of injury. I mean, we'll all hope, because nobody wants anyone to suffer from an injury, but Jalen Hurts obviously is injured his shoulder, may or may not play this week. They need to get him healthy for the playoffs. It's a big decision whether to play him these next three games. They've got three games remaining. They do need to win one to ensure that they'll have the home field advantage, to ensure that they have the number one seed position, the bye in the first round, all the goodies that come from being the number one team of the conference. So they need to get one of those. And I mean, look, I think Gardner Minshew may pull off one of those three wins. Gardner's no slouch. He's capable. But I think it's imperative that they get Jalen Hurts 100% healthy.
I feel the exact same. And I wonder, with Dallas coming up this weekend, biggest rivalry in the NFC East, are they going to go ahead and put him in for that game? Is that the important game for them? Because then they have the Saints and the Giants after that.
Yes, and this game, while there's the rivalry and all the hype comes from the Cowboys, it really doesn't mean that much to the Eagles if they lose this game but win the next week. And then the next week, then they're all set.
Right.
So, I mean,
it means more to the Cowboys.
And even then, the Cowboys positioning the playoffs are pretty well set. If the Cowboys lose, there'll be howls of concern and all kinds of angst and gnashing of teeth. But the Cowboys are sitting at 10-4. By far, they're ahead in the wild card standing. They're going to be the number one wild card. The Eagles will win the division. I think these sorts of things are somewhat set. If the Cowboys a week from now are 10-5 or 11-4, they're probably going to land in the same slotting in the playoffs. So anyway, the Cowboys obviously need and want to win. But for the Eagles, boy, I would rest Jalen Hurts if there's any sliver of doubt about his health.
Oh, I agree with you completely, especially the way that he moves and how mobile he is. I would not take that chance of injuring it further at this point. It's not worth it.
He's taken some hits this year, but he's also been pretty smart about his runs. He's not doing RPOs and running all the time. He picks his spots.
And he slides well.
He slides well. He picks his spots well. This is what a really good quarterback should be doing. In fact, you've heard me say I don't like these quarterbacks that use their legs to set up a pass. So the best example of that was Vince Young. He would run around, and the threat of his run would set up a throw over the top, and that was interesting. But using your legs to set up the pass just isn't a model for success. And at times, Lamar Jackson has been that kind of quarterback. The threat of his running sets up his passing. But the best quarterbacks are those who develop all the throws. They're really great passers. And ideally, they have the feet, the legs, to at least buy time while keeping their eyes downfield, and if not, also to be able to run. And Jalen Hurts has demonstrated that he's that kind of a quarterback, the quarterback who can both pass well and run well.
Let me ask you this. Sticking to our quarterback, sticking to our MVP conversation, does last weekend's near miss of the Chiefs barely beating the Texans in overtime, the Texans, the one-win Texans, worst record in the NFL, does that give you any cause for pause in Mahomes' MVP conversation?
Well, so Mahomes was outstanding in that game. So it gives me more pause. What was wrong with the Chiefs overall? Because Mahomes had to sort of carry them in the ideal.
And they almost lost to Las Vegas as well.
Yeah.
They've been a terrible team all season.
My concern for the Chiefs would be when you have somebody as gifted and talented as Patrick Mahomes, who can pull a rabbit out of the hat, who can do extraordinary things, who can bring you back from the brink, that then it gives you sort of this false sense of confidence that Mahomes can do these things. And one slip up, then it makes your margin for error really, really small. It doesn't affect my view of Mahomes as an MVP candidate. I thought he was outstanding. I mean, in that game, they relied on him. He was 36 of 41, albeit against a weak Texans defense, but it certainly enhanced his MVP status, although it calls into question, why aren't the Chiefs playing these teams better? Are they just sort of playing down to the level of competition when they're facing the Raiders or the Texans? Are they playing down to the level of competition and then or just counting on Mahomes to pull out some Mahomes magic late in the game?
Well, I think they are, because this is the Texans game this past weekend was the fourth time that the Chiefs have had to come back from a fourth quarter deficit on the entire season. In Kansas City, I have seen from them, they're a very undisciplined team. They had 100 yards of penalty on 10 penalties on Sunday against the Texans.
Yep.
What?
No, you can't get that sloppy.
No, and I think they are sloppy. I do think that would be my wrap on them, and I agree with you. I think they do count on Mahomes to pull the rabbit out of the hat, and he mostly does that, and it's pretty unbelievable. But wow, you cannot be this undisciplined. You cannot have 100 yards in penalties and expect to win games.
Well, they'll lose a playoff game that way if they fall prey to that again.
Yes, because you're not going to get another team as bad as the Texans in the playoffs, period.
All right, coming up next, we're going to be joined by Howard Balzer, NFL expert. And I want to ask him about those Cardinals. They have a real reset coming with Kyler Murray injured. It'll be Howard Balzer up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And when we went to break, we were noting that Jalen Hurts, far and away leading the Eagles, he's far and away the best quarterback in the NFC. And when you look at the NFC right now and the landscape in the NFC, Eagles, with that extraordinary 13-1 record, if Hurts and team are healthy, they are the team to beat in the NFC. But one team I wonder whether they've been overlooked a little bit, maybe undersold, are the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, are the Minnesota Vikings.
I was going to say the Eagles. No.
But the Vikings stand 11-3, and they just had this extraordinary comeback against the Colts. Kirk Cousins was outstanding in the second half. Obviously, he had struggles in the first half. But this is a team that has really flown under the radar and sort of, I remember about halfway through the season looking at the record thinking, wow, they're really good record-wise, but they won a whole bunch of close games that came down to the last 5 minutes. Could they sustain that? Well, sure enough, last week they won a very close game, the great comeback against the Colts. I don't know, but you're looking at these Vikings. They're now 11-3. They've got a lot of talent on their team. They've got perhaps an MVP candidate in Justin Jefferson with Kirk Cousins throwing him the football. I'm wondering if these Vikings have been overlooked a bit and whether they'll be a force, whether they are somebody that we might think about as representing the NFC in the Super Bowl.
That's a great question. I'm not buying that yet. I'm a seller. Just because Kirk Cousins has been in the league a long time, he's been franchise tagged till he's blue in the face, till he can't be anymore, and he is a good quarterback. But they were down 33-0. I mean, that's not good.
They did get in that hole, right?
No, and then, you know, give him credit. He threw over 415 yards after the half.
Yeah, just in the second half. An amazing second half.
So let's look at, though, to me, that is kind of like what we were talking about earlier with the Jags win over Dallas. Everyone's just talking about the demise of Dallas. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. The Jags are really, give them some credit. I feel a little bit, we're giving Minnesota a lot of credit. Good Lord. The Colts are pitiful. I mean, that is terrible.
And yet the Colts got up 33-0 in the first half.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's two ways to look at it.
Yeah, so I think it's really tricky. But I look at Matt Ryan, I'm like, wow, you were the leader at the biggest Super Bowl collapse ever, losing a 28-3 lead to the Patriots a couple years ago here in Houston, Texas, as a matter of fact. And now you have also made history in the NFL as the biggest collapse where the Vikings came back to win 39-33. So, wow. I don't know. But I love what Minnesota's doing. I'm not there yet. I'm not ready to buy them.
Okay. Interestingly, in the NFC, of course, Eagles at 13-1, Vikings at 11-3.
Atop the NFC North.
Right? Yeah, the 49ers, 10-4, and they might be a lot of teams' favorite, or a lot of people's favorite, were it not for the fact that they're starting their third-string quarterback, Brock Purdy. And he's looked good, and he's got a lot of weapons around him. But it takes a real leap of faith to believe that a third-string quarterback and a rookie quarterback and the last quarterback taken in all of the – or last player taken in all of the NFL –
Mr. Irrelevant.
Mr. Irrelevant is going to be the guy who is quarterbacking in a Super Bowl team. It's just so many leaps of faith. It's really hard for me to think about it.
It's an interesting experiment to watch, that's for sure. Because I'll tell you, when you are deemed Mr. Irrelevant – you don't have a preconceived notion about yourself, except everybody thinks I stink. I mean, like, which is not really fair because when you think about there's seven rounds in the NFL draft, or it's six or seven, I think it's seven.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I mean, the fact that you're one of those players is already amazing. There's thousands and thousands of college players. So there's that. But when you're up at this level and you are the last pick, it is really unlikely where you are. So I feel like I'm going to be the Mary Poppins for Brock Purdy over here, is that you're not trying to do everything because you know you can't. So, and the beautiful thing is that you are playing against the best defense in the NFL. I have never enjoyed watching a defense so much as when I see San Francisco play. I mean, they are so dominant, so explosive, so exciting. So he's really got – he's not playing from behind. He's really – that defense is really carrying him, and they're really putting him on his shoulders. And he's got great weapons on offense.
That's true. If he gets three touchdowns behind, it would be a different test.
Sure, sure.
And with that defense, they're rarely behind. It's a great point. And I'm struck by the way that Christian McCaffrey just makes quarterbacks play better.
Wow.
He was such a pickup for that team. And in hindsight, everybody can say, well, why didn't my team go get him? Well, look, McCaffrey had a lot of injury history, and that was a risk. And it's been a gamble.
And his style of play.
It's paid off so far. But when he was healthy, the quarterback play on the Panthers was so much better. And now here he is really lifting the quarterback play for the 49ers.
And again, he is behind a great line, and he's got a great complementary football with that defense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really exciting to watch him. And Kyle Shanahan is, like, thanking the football gods for Trey Lance's ankle injury. I mean, I don't wish – and nobody wishes injury on anyone. I really don't. But that got him out of a messy situation that he never should have deemed Trey Lance the starter over Jimmy Garoppolo. Well, they had to bring Jimmy back. Jimmy wasn't even there.
Yeah.
That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. So then Kyle got smart and was like, okay, McCaffrey's available. Let's bring him in. And now I like what Shanahan is doing. But, man, when he named Trey Lance the starter, I was like, oh, yikes. This is a mess.
Well, it is interesting because, look, this season, from what we saw of Trey Lance, there was I don't think he would have really taken them deep into the playoffs, and yet they were so committed. And it's a strange dynamic because it would be like
almost a heel digging.
Well, it'd be like if I went to my wife and I said, I found this other younger woman I'm going to go be with. And
interesting, listeners, pipe up here, pipe up.
And then something with this younger woman went awry. She got injured. And I went back to my wife and said, hey, no big deal. Come on in. Let's be together.
Totally.
And that's what Jimmy G said. Okay, that's fine. I'll do it. I'm coming back. And how fortuitous they were. And look, Jimmy G, it looks like he might come back in the playoffs. There's still uncertainty about the timeline of his recovery. And I would feel much more confident about the 49ers making a deep playoff run, if not a Super Bowl run, with Jimmy G than I would with Brock Purdy. Notable. There's never been a rookie starting quarterback in the Super Bowl, so Brock Purdy would be the first of them. There's never been a third-string quarterback who, during the course of the season, ascended and took his team to the Super Bowl.
Really?
So Brock Purdy would be the first of that. Now, if it were ever going to happen, it would be this team with this coach in this situation, sure, but it is the longest of long shots.
Right. What I would caution Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch to be, but don't double down on your Trey Lance deal. You gave up a lot to get him, which was confusing. And it's not on Trey Lance's talent. It's on his inability. I mean, there's not much tape on him.
Mm-hmm.
He had very few college games. I mean, it's crazy. Very few passes that he's thrown since high school, to be perfectly honest. Don't do the Ryan Pace experiment with Trubisky and just continue to double down year after year after year. Cut your losses.
It's hard to admit a mistake,
yes.
But that's the dilemma. And they invested so heavily to get Trey Lance, to trade him away.
Both of these guys were the number two pick, Trubisky and Trey Lance.
It's a tough step, right? Well, Lance was number three, I guess.
Oh, was he three?
That's
okay.
Right. But three overall, and they traded up to get him, lots of draft mm-hmm. capital. That was a big leap. So, yes, it would have to be an admission of mistake. It will be fascinating this offseason to watch what the 49ers do at the quarterback position. Equally so, with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love and the Packers, there's a real question about who's going to quarterback the Packers next year. The way the contract is set up, if Aaron Rodgers wants to come back,
$60 million.
He's going to be back. Uh-huh. So it looks like Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the Packers next year, and maybe with their recent momentum, there's a feeling that, yeah, if we can keep Aaron Rodgers around and these receivers develop as they are developing, the Packers will be well positioned for next year with Aaron Rodgers. But that likely means you got to trade Jordan Love.
And I think that will have to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, Jordan Love isn't feeling the love in Green Bay anywhere. So I don't blame the guy.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Brent Musburger, the iconic one. And one of the things I want to ask him is about the Raiders. He lives in Vegas, and we will ask him about what happened this season with the Raiders. Why are they at 6-8 and not 9-9? 5. That would be where I would have thought.
Enlighten us, Brent. We're ready for you.
That up next, Brent Musburger here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
Joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is a real treat. It's Brent Musburger, the iconic broadcaster and host of a radio show on the Vegas Sports Information Network. You can hear him Saturdays and Sundays, 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific. Brent, welcome onto the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Great to be with you, David and Carla. How you doing? Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all that.
Well, all that, and it's all that when we have you on the air. Great to have you, and we are talking to you on the day when we've heard the sad news of the passing of Franco Harris, and wanted to hear your thoughts and remembrances on the great career of Franco Harris.
He's such a nice man. I had the pleasure of interviewing him a lot during the days of the NFL Today, and it's ironic. This is the anniversary of the Immaculate Reception.
Yeah.
And for some of your listeners who've landed at the Pittsburgh airport and you go take that escalator down to get the train to pick up your baggage,
there's a
statue. Yeah, it's great.
It is amazing. So Carla here is a longstanding Raiders fan, and of course, she was on the short end of the stick of the Immaculate Reception with the Steelers getting that win. Then there was another wild game last weekend where the Raiders won on a last play, but this time the Raiders were on the better end of the stick with the Raiders defeating the Patriots. How stunning was that for you?
My wife and I were at the game watching it as fans, and I still don't believe what I saw last Sunday. I have named it the Belichick blunder. And I told my friends up in Massachusetts, it took us a long time to avenge the Tuck rule.
Yes.
But we finally did. And I still can't believe that they snapped the ball with just a few seconds left in the game. They could have gone easily into overtime. And that's not like a Belichick coach team. And so that's why I've named it the Belichick blunder.
I love that, Brent. And I want to ask you about that because I agree with you completely. I have watched it every day, the replay, because I just literally can't believe what I'm seeing. Do you think this was just an audible on the field that was called by Jacoby Myers or whoever else was in it? Or is Belichick just, is it Matt Patricia? Who do you think should be responsible for this and who actually is responsible for this?
Well, Carla, it goes all the way to Belichick. Now, the players ad-libbed on the field, let's be perfectly honest.
Mm-hmm.
There's never a play where you run a draw play and you start laterally and look around for the Stanford band. That's simply not going to happen. But Matt Patricia or one of his sons, some assistant, should have said, Coach, we need to just take a knee and go to overtime because nothing, you're not going to run a draw play for 55 yards for a touchdown.
Right.
But you can get a player injured. Okay, by snapping the ball. Let's look at the negative part of it. And the Raiders had just marched down the field for a dramatic touchdown that was somewhat controversial, whether or not the toe was out of bounds, and there was nothing conclusive that the officials could see. So they let it stand. So give your team a break. Take a knee with Mac Jones and go on and hope you can win the coin flip. I mean, I still can't believe that they snapped the ball in that situation, to tell you the truth, Carla.
I can't either, Brent. I absolutely agree. And as you know, as a Cradle Raiders fan, I'm thrilled that that happened because what we've seen this season from the Raiders, you know, with a really, in my mind, a top five, top eight roster in the NFL, but really in the bottom, especially in the beginning of the season, seeing these inexplicable losses to the Jeff Saturday Colts, getting blanked by the Saints, you know, just really, really tough losses, not to mention Baker Mayfield having had the playbook for 2 days. What do you think, Brent? You know Vegas well. You know, obviously, the NFL like the back of your hand. What has gone wrong in Vegas? What is it that the roster is not playing to its ability?
You know, Carla, I have to disagree with you about the quality of the roster, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
John Gruden's a good friend of mine, and so is Mayock, who was the general manager under Gruden. They did a bad job of drafting. That's the obvious answer to your question. And I'm going to give Josh McDaniels some time. First of all, Mark Davis cannot afford to fire another head coach right now. So Josh will be back with Ziegler as the general manager next year, and we shall see. They have three games remaining. Of course, they go into Pittsburgh, then they come home and play San Francisco and Kansas City. Their only chance, as slim as it is, their only chance to hang on and slip in the wild card is to win all three games and then hope for help on the outside. I don't see this as a playoff team because you pointed out their big stumbles. Mm-hmm. You can't get shut out of New Orleans.
Exactly.
Like they did. They've lost to Jacksonville. And you can't let a quarterback who just showed up 24 hours before the game beat you the way Baker Mayfield did. So they've made enough mistakes on their own to not be a playoff team. But I'm a big Raider fan, broadcast their games on radio for 4 years, and I'm going to give them until next year and then see what this regime has got.
We're talking to Brent Musburger. You can hear him on the Vegas Sports Information Network on Saturday and Sunday, 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific. So, Brent, it's interesting coming out of what you've called the Belichick blunder. There have been sort of concerned about the fate of Bill Belichick, and perhaps there's just criticism you never would hear about Bill Belichick. At the same time, Tom Brady is suffering through his worst season, and it's really odd to see both of them get beat up and not perform at high levels and suffer through really difficult seasons. Talk to me about those two and where you think, how much gas do they have left in the tank?
Well, let me separate the two, quarterback and head coach, entirely different. Let me start with Tom Brady. No person has ever beaten Father Time, and that's what's catching up on Tom today. Now, people say to me, Brent, do you think he should retire? And I say, listen, I'm not one to tell people when they should retire. I think that's up to them, and Tom will have to make up his own decision. He's gone through some personal problems, which I don't think could have helped him, certainly at the beginning of the season. So we'll see what happens down in Tampa Bay with the Buccaneers. As far as Belichick is concerned, I don't think he's lost his fastball, but I think the mistake that he made was when Josh McDaniels took the head coaching job with the Las Vegas Raiders, Belichick should have immediately moved to bring in someone who was an offensive guru, if you will, someone who knew more about offense than Matt Patricia, who I always viewed as a defensive assistant coach. And I think that's catching up with Belichick. As I watched Mac Jones play on Sunday, I was not impressed. He was not that accurate. I liked him coming out of Alabama, but he was not accurate. And he also, he's not comfortable. He would go over to the sideline. He was sort of upset with his teammates. And that's something I had not seen with the young man when he left Nick Saban and came. So I think that the big problem with Belichick goes to the fact that he did not put together a solid offensive coaching staff with the Patriots. Now, having said that, I don't think Belichick's lost his fastball. Yeah, he made a huge mistake on Sunday against the Raiders, but all coaches make mistakes, not necessarily as glaring as that one. So Belichick's going to be fine, but he must review and change his offensive coaching staff. He obviously lost a lot in Josh McDaniels. Watching McDaniels on the sideline, Josh communicates with his quarterbacks. He was sitting on the bench a couple of times with Derek Carr while the defense was out on the field. They were working with the iPad, if you will, and going over plays and things like that. And Josh clearly understands offense. Whether or not Josh understands the leadership that a head coach has to demonstrate, I think that's still to be proven, and that's why I say let's give him another year and see. But I heard somebody, some fan called some NFL announcers said Belichick should be fired. He's too old. He's got no, he's not. He's going to be fine, but he has to correct what I consider his most glaring error this season, and that was not putting together a solid offensive coaching staff.
Yeah, something they'll have to address in the offseason, and it certainly affects the development of Mac Jones, something the Patriots desperately need. We're talking to Brent Musburger. Brent, I want to ask you about Sean Payton because he'll be one of the big storylines this offseason. Where do you see a fit for Sean Payton?
Well, that's kind of interesting because he obviously likes living in Southern California. So let us start with the Rams and the Chargers. Now, in the Rams' case, they're not going to make a change, but Sean McVay who has been offered some TV gigs in the past, he may want to step away. Now, it's hard to step away from the kind of season that the Rams have had this year mm-hmm. as compared to last year when they went out and won the Super Bowl. But I would start with the Rams. I would think they would move towards Sean if McVay decides to step down. It's going to be up to McVay. So McVay's not going to be fired after what the Rams had to suffer through with retirements and injuries and that sort of thing. So keep an eye on the Chargers, okay? The Charger coaching staff, because I've watched them carefully over the last few years against the Raiders, they leave somewhat to be desired as leadership. Justin Herbert carries that team a lot.
Wow, he does. They got
great talent. Now, they've been hit with some injuries, but keep an eye there. Now, following that, a long shot, but this particular long shot has a lot of money because the Walton family took over the Denver Broncos. And if they decide to make a change, remember, they did not hire Coach Hackett themselves. So if they decide to make a change after 1 year, Sean Payton would be very attractive to them. So we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, he's going to get a job if he wants to go back. But I would start first with Los Angeles because it's been reported and some of my friends have told me he loves living in Southern California.
Brent Musburger joining us here on the Sports Map Radio Network. So, Brent, the first time I laid eyes on you was the NFL Today with Brent, Phyllis, and Irv. And you had Jimmy the Greek on the show with you. And it's really interesting as I reflect on it. Here you've launched the Vegas Sports Information Network, wildly successful network. And back when you were doing the NFL Today, Jimmy the Greek would come on and sort of talk cryptically about odds and what Vegas was thinking. And now it seems like it's all out in the open. And, of course, an entire network that you built, the Vegas Sports Information Network, is thriving. And the odds have worked their way into all of the mainstream sports shows. So just, is this an amazing thing for you to see over the course of your career, how much more acceptance there is of what was taking place behind the scenes, all that gambling, and now out in the open?
I smile about it every day. I really can't believe how it exploded so quickly after the Supreme Court ruled in favor of New Jersey back in the day. I think we've got 32 states now with legalized sports gambling. I'll tell you a quick anecdote. I've told this story before. People know it perhaps, but Jimmy the Greek was signed our second year of the NFL Today at CBS. And so Bob Wessler was our general manager, myself and Jimmy. We had a meeting with Pete Rozelle in the NFL offices. I'll never forget it. It was very friendly, very cordial. Rozelle liked to bet horses. And so that was right down Jimmy the Greek's wheelhouse. And so they talked more about who was going to win next year's Kentucky Derby than they did the NFL Today and the Greek coming on board. And obviously CBS wanted Pete Rozelle's approval. So we got ready to leave, and Pete Rozelle said, "Hey, guys, I'd like to ask you one favor." Now, when you're sitting there in a meeting with the commissioner who's giving you the rights to televise the NFL games at the time, there's no request. This is what he wants. And so we said, "Sure, commissioner, what do you need?" He said, when you and Jimmy talk about the games, I don't want you to say that the Giants are a 3-point favorite or that the Rams are a 7-point underdog. Just don't use those numbers for me." "Oh, yes, sir. No problem." And we left and went down the elevator. We all three looked at each other and wondered, what the hell are we going to do now? But on the way back to the broadcast center, it was actually the Greek who proposed, let's use a checkboard. I can say they got the best offense and they got the best defense. And so our producers went to work and we came up with the infamous, but the Greek insisted on having the intangibles down there. And if all the check marks were lined up on one side, that's when the Greek was all in on a team, and it was kind of fun. But now, of course, if you turn on ESPN or even the NFL own channel, the spreads are rolling across the bottom with the over under numbers, and it's pretty fascinating for me. So I always knew it was a big part of the interest in football. That doesn't mean that everybody has to gamble, but I always thought that people were interested in this team's a favorite, this people's an underdog, and that certainly has proven to be the case. And the good fortune for VSIN here in Las Vegas, and my guys in the desert, and off we go. But you're right, and it does bring a big smile to my face when I see the explosion in wagering on especially pro football.
It's been quite an evolution. Well, Brent, really appreciate your joining us. It's Brent Musburger. You can hear him on the Vegas Sports Information Network each weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 12 Eastern, 9 p. Thanks so much for being with us, Brent.
You bet. And again, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Take care.
Thanks, Brent.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and this is the time in the show when we each get to pick our favorite NFL matchup of this coming weekend. I'll let you go first. What game are you most looking forward to watching?
I'm kicking off your weekend. I am really curious about Jags-Jets.
Jags and Jets. That's a marquee matchup in this sense. There's a lot of draft capital invested in those two quarterbacks. Number one overall pick, Trevor Lawrence, versus number two overall pick in Zach Wilson. Jags and Jets, that should be fun to watch. Of course, at this point, Trevor Lawrence looks like he's now back on track after that Urban Meyer disaster and on his way to being a very, very good quarterback. Zach Wilson, I don't know that there's any confidence about where his career is headed.
Wow. And I feel like they're on differing paths with the Jags ascending after that big overtime win over Dallas and the Jets kind of descending, having to have Zach Wilson back in because of a Mike White injury. And we're talking about Mike White being the better quarterback. Yikes. But Zach Wilson, terrible decision maker. Woo! Okay, what are you going to watch?
Well, I'm going to go with the Giants and the Vikings. As we talked earlier, it's still unclear to me if the Vikings are as good as their record.
Right.
They're going to face a pretty good Giants team, a Giants team that needs a win to get into the playoffs. Giants sitting at 8-5-1. So it'll be fun to watch that one. It's been fun to be with you.
So fun.
Thanks all for listening. You've been to The Boss and the Gloss, Sports Map Radio.